The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Our New Testament reading today from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats and eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The good news according to St. Matthew, Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven will be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay it, the master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and the payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me. I will pay you everything.' And out of pity, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me. I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that had taken place, were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you? And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers, until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, I don't know if that's something we want to praise God for. That's a lot of law in that verses there. In fact, there is no gospel, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. Before we go any further, though, I think there's a word that we probably should define, and that is forgiveness. This is the definition I'd like to use for today. Forgiveness is primarily the act of the will. It's not emotion. Forgiveness is a choice, even though we still have the feelings of what was done to us. And Peter today asks a great question about forgiveness. How much should you forgive? Of course, that depends on the situation. Maybe it's easy to forgive that driver that cut you off on the way to church today. And maybe not so easy to forgive your spouse or family member that forgot to put your outfit in the wash that you're going to wear this morning. Or how about this? Is it easier to ask for forgiveness or be the one accepting the apology? Again, that all depends on who's being asked. But another great question is, how often do we forgive someone? 3, 7, maybe 490 times, if you can even do that. I'd like to show you a list of what 490 sins look like. These are my sins, and no one in the family helped me with this. I think it would have been longer. But here is what 490 sins looks like. It goes for quite a while. And actually, there probably should be 491, because after I wrote this last night, I wasn't feeling too good. But anyway, these are 491 sins that I came up with. And of course, there are a lot that repeat. In the words of Paul, everything I don't want to do, I keep on doing. So how often do we sin? And how often do we need forgiveness? Peter more than likely was asking with the rest of the disciples present this question: how many times do we forgive? Which might explain why Jesus gave such a harsh answer. And we're also assuming that Peter's probably still pondering that question that we heard last week in verse 15 about forgiving your brother who sins against you. Peter here in this lesson today is making a point. See, forgiving somebody 3 times was in the Jewish teaching. So to show that he's learning, he decides to double that number, and he says, how about 7 times? Well, Jesus wastes no time in responding. No, 70 times, or in some translations we've seen 70 times 7. But either way, 70 times or 490 times, that's a lot. More than probably one can remember. If those numbers are hard to fathom, then let's take a look at the parable of the servant, okay? There's one that owed the king a gazillion dollars. And seriously, this is what Jesus is trying to apply. We think he's trying to make kind of a joke out of this, because the amount was huge, all right? But even funnier is the idea that the king would forgive such a large debt. So there's a little pun, a little fun going here. But seriously, think about how much debt was there. Could you imagine all your debts just being forgiven just like that? No mortgage payment, no car payment, all the other debts just canceled, everything that you've done wrong just canceled, all gone. So it makes it very contrasting that this servant would go out and find one of his servants that owed just 100 denarii. To give that a comparison to that, according to today's wages, if I've done the math correctly, that servant owed about $8,000. It's kind of a lot, but not big compared to a gazillion dollars that this other servant owed. So when the king hears what happened, obviously he's very upset and throws his servant back in jail. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you. Yikes. If we look at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament lesson, he was dealing with a similar situation. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph, it's filled with acts of betrayal and forgiveness. Joseph, who was stripped of a very beautiful coat his father gave him, he was also then left for dead, sold into slavery, was accused of taking advantage of another man's wife. He was thrown into prison and for years never saw his family. We catch up today in Joseph in the reading where his father has just died. The brothers fear for all the harsh things that happened to Joseph and what they did to him, and also for the many years that Joseph gave them food, gifts, and land of their own. Joseph maybe would take back all that forgiveness that he gave and probably throw him into prison. And if this were a modern-day fairy tale, I'm assuming we'd probably rewrite the story. And Joseph, maybe he'd take advantage. Yeah, he'd probably show his power and maybe mercifully let him go. But he would always have them forever indebted to him. Yet we're also maybe no different than Joseph's brothers when it comes to people who we're close to. Or perhaps it's people in our community or places where we work. Do we run out of patience to forgive? And how do we deal with people who keep track of all the wrongs that's been done to them? In our relationship with God, God could certainly have all the reasons to take back what we deserve. We continually to sin against him, repenting as we should, but then doing the same thing again. We follow our selfish desires instead of following his commands. 10,000 talents worth, or a gazillion dollars worth. That's just one person. If we read the last part of the parable, we begin to see the theme that runs throughout the reading today. Forgive your brother from the heart. The point was not how many times as Peter was thinking. The point wasn't how many times our children have never brought back a tool they borrowed. Still missing my pliers, by the way. The point is recognizing how we are first forgiven. Hear again Joseph's response one more time. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive, as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you, your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to his brothers. Well, Joseph's brothers feared that he would remember how he felt when they treated him badly. Joseph did not, nor did he seek payback for what might have been owed, just as God doesn't seek revenge on us. Yes, Joseph remembered all that happened to him, but he made a choice to forgive. Joseph said, "What happened to me didn't matter. It hurt, but I made a choice to forgive you." God does not deal with us according to our sins, but according to his way. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Because of that steadfast love, God does not pay us back with condemnation that we deserve. He does not act in vengeance against us, but acting in mercy and grace, God sent his Son to be our Savior, bearing our sins on his body. Jesus was judged and condemned in our place. He suffered the penalty of death that we deserve for our sins. The steadfast love of God for those who fear him, those who trust in him, is as high as the heavens above the earth. And it is love revealed at the cross on which Jesus, being suspended between heaven and earth, there at the cross, God did not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. He dealt with us in love. Joseph was able to see the blessing that God gave him in return, how God used him to bless others. Like Joseph, we are blessed with the gift of faith and forgiveness of sins. Like the parable of the unforgiving servant, forgiveness is supposed to change our life. The blessings of forgiveness is the defining gift of the church. No other institution can offer this heavenly blessing. As a disciple, I first stand in the flow of forgiveness that begins with God in Jesus Christ, that comes to me, and then, second, by the power of the gospel, that same forgiveness flows out from me to another who needs my compassion. In a world that makes lists or has ways to find videos and pictures of people that have said things in the past or make it publicly known that person's wrongs. In a world where the good news of Jesus is blurred with the idea of good works, it can be hard to hear how God desires all people to seek his forgiveness. When I was younger, I experienced great forgiveness. My dad had a Craftsman power drill. It was an older one that was well built. In fact, it was made in the U.S. It was a very nice drill, and I was using it for some of my projects. It wasn't working very well one day, so I decided to take it apart and fix it. I took it apart to the point where I did not know how to put it back together. A few weeks later, he asked where I put his drill. And I can still remember the hurt in my guts of telling him what I did. And he was mad. It happened to be a drill that his dad had bought for him. It was sort of priceless to him. But I asked for forgiveness, and my dad forgave me. But I had to ask for, but fast forward a few years later, and one of my children, I will not mention their names, borrowed one of my tools. It was my handsaw. It was left outside for a couple of days. As you might probably know about saws, if you leave them outside, eventually they start to get rust on them. So sure enough, as I went to look for my saw, there I found it in the yard with a coat of rust starting to build on it. So I asked my son what happened. And I experienced the same thing that my dad did for me. As my dad forgave me, I also forgave my son, just as Jesus did for me. I have one more object lesson. I apologize, this is my DCE side of me. I'm going to ask Hoda, who doesn't know this, to help me out. You don't have to do much. But I have something I want to show with my list of sins. And since you can't see it, Hoda is going to interpret for you what's happening. So Hoda, if you want to come up here, let's see if I can get this to work. So I'm going to light a candle. You don't have to do anything yet. But if you can just help me out. So I'm going to hold this up to the flame here, and you can probably see what's about to happen as it gets warm. Can you see what it's doing? Yeah, so it's disappearing. There we go. So some of you probably see that from the back. So no more words on there. It took me all night to do that. Now if I hold it long enough, this worked at home. Yeah, I know.
Someone have a fire extinguisher by any chance?
Yeah, I didn't burn it at home either, so. But oh, there we go. Now you can probably see what's happening. You see that, Hoda?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
That's coming. A cross.
Yeah, it's a cross coming through on the paper. So the idea is that when our sins are removed, they're put upon Christ on the cross, and God does not remember them anymore. Even though it still hurt, God forgives our sins. Thank you, Hoda. Appreciate that. But God loves and forgives our sins, 70 times 7. Even us ungrateful people have heard the gospel proclaimed here on Sunday morning, who literally will receive the body and blood of Christ here in just a little bit. We often go out into the world forgetting what had happened. We settle the scales, we try to balance them, we remember those things, we begin to make lists. But God forgives them, all of them, 10,000 talents worth, a gazillion dollars worth of sins, because he loves us, and he does that every time. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great love that you've showed all of us, despite our sinfulness of sinning over and over again. And Lord, despite the times that we make lists of the things people have done to us, and we find it hard to forgive them. Lord, you have shown us out of your great love that you love and care and forgive our sins. And Lord, in a world that's hurting and dying to know more about your great love, may we be an example of compassion in showing that forgiveness that you have first shown to us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you've done. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.